by far the second most frequently used words were thank you. Probably the most used were oh and ah. But following that was thank you. And this is what we want to really talk about, is the thank yous that we need to give to God for the thousands, literally thousands of gifts that He has given to us. When we think of 66 gifts from God, I think our minds all would go to the Bible, because that there are 66 books in the Bible, and each of these books is a gift from the Heavenly Father. But within each of these books, there are hundreds of gifts. We're going to today look at some of them. There have been supposedly 66 gifts passed out, one for each book of the Bible. We're going to open some of these together as we have time, and the rest of these we'll let you open during the intermission or the lunch hour that follows. The theme scripture for our talk is James 1:17. And that scripture says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with his whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a privilege it is to receive gifts. What a greater privilege it is for each of us to give gifts. But the real blessing pointed out in this scripture is that the gifts we give are merely imperfect tokens. They're expressions of our love to each other. But the good ones and the perfect ones, the only real gifts, come from our Heavenly Father. And these He has symbolized to us and told us about in the stories and the prophecies and the direct scriptures of His Word. So we're going to proceed and start looking at some of these gifts from the Word of God. Everybody likes to get jewelry at Christmas, especially the sisters. And God gives jewelry too. Read us some of the jewelry that God gives in the book of Genesis. So we're going to ask Sister Ruth Katerba, what did you get for Christmas? I have a roving mic here. As we come to the book that you're mentioning, you can start opening your present at that time when we come to your book. And we won't be going through them in order necessarily, so we'll be sort of skipping around to cover parts throughout the Bible.
I got earrings from Brother Carl. Genesis 24:22-23. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Thank you.
Okay, so we have here a gift. Really, it was an engagement present. It was a present that was given by Eliezer to Rebekah because of the act that she did that entitled her to become the bride of Isaac. And these are gifts with meaning. It wasn't just that he gave her bracelets and an earring, but by extending the call to Rebekah, and Rebekah's showing that she was going to be accepting that call with the way she watered the camels, we have a symbol here of what the Heavenly Father gives us when we accept the call. He gives us divine ears, gold and earrings. He gives us the privilege of hearing divine promises and of knowing what divine truths mean. Because who can understand the mind of God save the Spirit of God that is in you? And He gives us more than that. He gives us golden bracelets. He gives us the privilege of divine service, the opportunities of using our hand for divine things instead of for earthly things. These are two gifts that we can thank God for, not only at this season of the year, but all of the time. Another gift we have is from Exodus, and don't know who's got Exodus, so who has Exodus? Who got the one from Sister Jean Cobra-Smith? What did you get for Christmas? I hope it's a mirror, because it says mirrors from Exodus.
Exodus 38:8, and he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it, of the looking glasses of the women's assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Well, now you say, now this is hardly a gift from God. This is a gift we give. This is a gift that the mirrors that they gave to the making of the tabernacle. But really, it's an exchange gift. You know, at Christmas time, you have Christmas exchanges. Well, that's how the laver was made. It was an exchange. They gave something. They gave their mirrors. They were brass looking glasses, polished brass. And in turn, God gave them a gift. He gave them the greatest mirror of all. He gave them the mirror of the laver. And what a beautiful picture it is. You know, a mirror is really an instrument of vanity. It's an instrument we look in and say, oh, how pretty, or sometimes how ugly I look. But anyway, this is what I look like. It calls attention to me. We're asked to give that up. The Lord says, give me your mirrors. Give me what you think of yourself. and I'll give you the real mirror. The laver is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the greatest mirror. In it is reflected the image of God and our own image side by side. So as we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that looking at that image, we can be transformed from glory to glory into that same image. Another reason to say, thank you, God. In Leviticus, we have some perfume. Who got Leviticus? Sister Barbara Jesuit, what did you get for Christmas?
A bottle of perfume. Leviticus 16, 12, and 13. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it into the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
You know, there's something very precious about that scripture. When we think of the two animals that were offered on the Day of Atonement, we often say that everything that happened to the bullock happened to the goat. But that's not quite true. Because there's one thing that happened to the bullock that did not happen to the goat, and that's shown in this gift from God. There was incense offered with the bullock. There was no incense offered with the goat. And the lesson there is a beautiful lesson. This incense offered by the high priest pictured the perfections of Jesus. And that's why it was only the bullock, because only he had perfections. Crumbled slowly over that hot fire, yielding it to the fire of persecution. And that produced the sweet perfume, the sweet incense. And only after that incense was perfumed, that perfume went into the Most Holy, could either the blood of the bullock or the blood of the goat be offered. And so our privilege of offering our lives in consecration is only because Jesus has first given his perfections to the trials of life, and they have gone in, and this gives us the privilege of entering in after him. What a beautiful gift of perfume from our Lord Jesus. We're going to skip Numbers. We're going to go down to Deuteronomy. And let's look what we have in Deuteronomy. Who got the one from Deuteronomy? John Gadelis got a gift from Deuteronomy. And we say it's a gift of land, and John's going to say it doesn't look like land at all. John, what did you get from Deuteronomy? Piece of rock, it looks like, almost, doesn't it, John?
Yeah.
What does it say? Rock.
Rise up, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arun. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Shidon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle.
Now, God gave to Israel a vast gift, the entire land of Canaan. And when he gave them this land, he gave it to them when they passed over the river Arnon and later in Jordan. And he said, I'm giving you the land, but you're going to have to fight to get it. I'm not going to give it to you free. I'll help you fight your battles, but you have to push out the present inhabitants, and then the land is yours. And this is the lesson to us, that we need to push out, that God gives us victory over our lives. Greater is he that taketh his own spirit than he that conquereth the city. He said, I will give you victory over your life, but I'm not going to remove the enemies. Selfishness is still going to be there. You're going to find the parasite of pride. You're going to find the keenite of ingrained wickedness. All of these things are in your hearts. But I'll give you the battles, the instruments to fight them. You must fight these battles. Now, John is still puzzling over what his gift has to do with this. We'll mention what it is. It's not just a piece of rock, John. What you have is a little piece of pottery. It's a piece of pottery that comes right from the place mentioned in this scripture, from Heshbon. And it goes back to the period of King Solomon. So it's a period, it's part of that land that they conquered. It's part of the thing that they got when they went into the promised land. And this is just a little symbol of the gift of the conquest of our own spirits that are given to us. We're going to skip Joshua. We're going to move on down to Judges. We got some honey from Judges. Who got that? Sister Hannah Langer got honey. She's got her honey beside her, but she's got some honey in her hands too.
Judges 14, 8, and 9. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
Well, that's a rather unusual gift that Samson got. Remember, Samson was going to claimed this woman, this Philistine, to be his wife. And there he went aside to see the carcass of a lion he had killed earlier. And in the lion was some honey. And he ate that. And then he thought of something. He said, I'm going to make a riddle out of this. And so at the wedding feast, there were 30 Philistines, friends of the bride that were there. And he said, here's the riddle for you. And the riddle was found in verse 14 of that same chapter. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Now, if you can tell me what that riddle means, I will give you a change of garment. If you can't, you each have to give me a change of garment. And for 3 days, they puzzled over that, and they couldn't get it. And finally, they enticed his wife to betray the secret as to what it was. And finally, when he came back on the seventh day, they said, oh, that's simple. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he realized that there was no way they could get that themselves, and the trickery that was played on him. And he said, if he had not plowed with my heifer, he had not found out my riddle. Well, I think there's a beautiful story in this. Suggested in one of the reprint articles that Samson throughout his life is a picture of the true church and its experiences. And the women in Samson's life are pictures of false churches that she has come in contact with and has been corrupted with throughout her history. It was suggested the first of these women was the nominal Jewish church. Nominal Israel was this first woman that she came to. And at that time, there was a transition from the Jewish age to the gospel age. And there was a beautiful opportunity being opened, a high calling. But Israel could not grasp why Jesus had come and the way he had come. And his whole ministry to them was a riddle, just like this was a riddle. And the riddle had to do with, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. There was a sweetness that came from the sacrificial life of Christ, the sweetness of the high calling. Now, honey was never to be mixed with sacrifices, because the high calling had nothing to do with the Old Testament law. We think this honey pictures the sweetness of the high calling privileges. And where does it come from? Out of the slain lion of the tribe of Judah. That lion gave his life, and out from that lion comes the sweetness of this honey. And if Israel could have guessed that riddle, they would have received a change of garment. They would have received justification by faith for their justification by works. But they couldn't really get it. And what they did say, they stated by trickery, he guessed that. And Jesus said, the only reason you could have any spirituality at all was you plowed with my heifer, the red heifer, the ancient worthies. They had had those, they could recite them, but those truths had not become part of their lives. But to us, we have that beautiful privilege of the high calling. We have honey from the Lord. Let's go on to our next group of gifts. And we're going to go quite a ways down this time. We're going to go all the way down to 2 Kings. And we're going to take the gift of 15 years. We'd like to treat each of these. They're beautiful. They're gifts you can look at later. But we only have time in an hour to treat a certain amount of these. Who has the gift of 2 Kings? Jane Jesuit, what did you get for Christmas?
A date book.
Okay, got a date book.
Uh-huh.
What did your scripture say?
I don't know. What is it? I can't.
Oh, isn't it in there?
Oh. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Okay, 2 Kings 26. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake.
This was a gift that God had given to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was near unto death, and he prayed to the Lord to extend his life. And the Lord gave him a 15-year extension of his life. He showed it, as you can recall Brother John Trezina telling us, with the miracle of the sundial. This showed that God had indeed blessed him with this gift. This gift to me shows various things that the Lord gives us. It shows, first, that he gives us many times when we feel the need of an extension in our trials, in our battles. Often he will grant a prayer for extension. He'll say, yes, I'll give you more time. I'll give you another 15 minutes, 15 hours, 15 years, 15 days, whatever it may be. He said, if you feel you need more time for this experience, I'll give it to you. But for Hezekiah, that gift of 15 years was a mixed blessing. It was not a total blessing to him. To think, well, 15 years added life is always a blessing. Well, you know, Hezekiah was rated as a good king, but he made his mistakes. And most of the mistakes Hezekiah made were in those last 15 years. He was a good king. He was an excellent king until his last 15 years. And he ended up being a good king. And so frequently it is when we feel that, well, Lord, I need more time. Lord, so I'll give you more time. But you may find it doesn't work out totally to your advantage. You may find out in this extension of time I'm giving you that you're going to do more failing, too, as well as more successes. So it's a gift to be very careful in asking from. And I think it's brought out right in this verse. He said, I'm going to give you 15 years, and I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to defend Jerusalem. But you notice why I'm going to defend Jerusalem. For my sake and for my servant David's sake, not for your sake. I will defend it because I promise to defend it. It is the holy city. So the 15 years, the extensions that we sometimes ask for, are sometimes a blessing, and sometimes they carry with it their own share of trial. Now we're going to keep moving because there are a lot of books in the Bible. Now let's come down and let's look at silence. That's an odd gift. Book of Job. Who has silence? There you go. Oh, Brother George Tabak has it. George, what did you get for Christmas?
Ear stoppers.
Well, that's good for silence, I guess. Okay, what's your scripture, George?
When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only.
Isn't that a beautiful gift from the Lord? How often the coincidences and circumstances of life will really throw us and give us trouble. But there is one, if we can put our trust in him, will give us a quietness and a peace that no matter what the surroundings are about us, we don't need to worry. It's one of the most precious gifts the Heavenly Father has for us. We have it now at Christmas. We have it all year long. And let's keep appreciating that gift and turning to the one source for it. You know, the real secret of that quietness, the scripture in Isaiah that says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Finish it. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Right. This is the secret to that quietness. And when God gives that, who can make trouble? Again, in Romans, you have a similar thought where it says, it is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Come into those experiences where some say, I don't like the way you're living. I don't like what you believe. I don't like what you're doing here. It doesn't matter too much what you like. If we're trying to do it for the Lord, if he gives that quietness, then we can appreciate that. And who is he that makes trouble? Well, again, we're going to pass on to another one. Oh, that looks like a nice one at top. Kisses. Who's got some kisses? Who got Song of Solomon? Oh, Janine J. Janine, what did you get for Christmas? Kisses, Hershey kisses. Okay. Tom Granitz. Okay, this is really a very beautiful gift, to be kissed by the Lord. To be kissed by the Lord means to have an intimate communication, a mouth-to-mouth discussion with the Lord, heart-to-heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the Lord said, I'm going to come and I'm going to kiss you. And you know when he starts? That's one of the beautiful things. He said, when I would find thee without, I would kiss thee. He doesn't wait for us to come. He meets us outside. Outside of a covenant relationship. He meets us there and he begins communicating with us, giving us his word, letting us communicate with him. And he said, I'm going to do more than kiss you. I'm going to lead you. And I'm going to bring you into my mother's house. Who is his mother? The Sarah Covenant. He said, I'm going to bring you right into this covenant relationship. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to cause you to drink of the spice wine, the spiritual doctrines, and the juice of my pomegranates, the fruits of the Spirit. These will be yours because you have responded to the kisses of love that I have given you. What a gift to say thank you for from the Lord. Let's take the next one. This season of the year, we can't dismiss this one. Who has Isaiah? Sister Shirley. What did you get for Christmas?
It's a very beautiful picture of Jesus, and it comes from Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Surely a gift we can say thank you for.
Isn't it, though, the gift that the Heavenly Father gave of his own Son? The gift that the world appreciates, commemorates at this time of year, but a gift that those who are truly his should particularly appreciate. Because he's not only given us a son to die for our sins, but he's given us a son who has invited us to be with him in these various roles, to be with him as part of the Wonderful Counselor, part of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, to share with him in these various roles, even as a man, when he asks a woman to be his wife, says, whatever I am, I want you to share with in my life. And so Jesus has asked us to do these things with him. God has given us truly the greatest gift in giving us his Son, redemption through him, and the opportunity of participation with him. Let's go down to breath. The gift of breath from Ezekiel. Who got Ezekiel? Sister Millie Zatko, what did you get for Christmas?
Then said he unto me, prophesize unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
And what was your gift?
It's a key ring.
What's on the key ring?
Shalom, peace.
Shalom, peace. Okay, we have a key ring that ties us right back to Israel. You know, Israel and watching the developments in Israel is truly a wonderful gift from the Lord. It's a gift of being able to see before our very eyes in the daily paper the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Scriptures. And one of the most beautiful prophecies, this prophecy of the dry bones coming together, bone to bone, flesh, sinew, not yet breath, but eventually breath will come upon these bones. As we see these developments, we can see the forward marching of the time clock of God. But just today, we should be able to see some of these developments with a conference going on over there in the Middle East, as we see one further step toward the outworking of the plan, whichever way it goes. It isn't that we can predict what this step today is going to mean, as Sadat and Begin mean out somewhere in Ismaila or in Egypt someplace, but it does mean that there is still activity going on in that area. There is still progression going forth, that as it continues to go forth, we'll understand more clearly in the fulfillment of this beautiful prophecy of Ezekiel, and what a culmination when God will finally give breath to those bones, and they will come into a new covenant relationship with their God. Let's take one of the biggest gifts. God has given us a whole mountain, an Obadiah. Let's turn to Obadiah. Who's got that? Kathy Megas, what did you get for Christmas?
Part of a mountain, a rock.
From Obadiah.
Thank you. Obadiah 19 and 21. And they of the south shall possess the mountain of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the Mount shall be the Lord's. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
And what did you get?
Part of a mountain, a rock.
Part of a mountain, a rock. And not just part of any mountain. You got a part of the Mount of Esau. Because that is a rock from Petra. That is a rock from the Mount of Esau, literally. But what the Mount of Esau pictures is a much bigger symbol. The Mount of Esau, of course, Edom, pictures Christendom. Christendom, you remember, was God's. It was a golden cup in the Lord's hand. It became tremendously corrupted. It became filled with the doctrines of devils. It became mixed with the error of false doctrine and poured out. But still, Christendom was the Lord's. And he says, I'm not going to just throw it in the garbage heap. So I'm just going to give it to somebody else. They of the south shall possess the Mount of Esau. Well, they of the south is not the church. It's not a picture of the church, we don't think. I think it's a reference back to the prophecy of Zechariah where you got the Mount of Olives split in two halves, half to the north and half to the south. And you remember the beautiful explanation of this in the fourth volume, that the half to the south was the ancient worthies. that the ancient worthies, when they come on the scene, they will become the center of God's religious government. No longer will it be the Christendom that has been in the past, but the Lord's cup now will be a very pure cup. And they will possess this by occupying. And the word possess in the concordance means to occupy as occupation forces. They will be the Lord's occupation forces coming in and beginning this administration of the earth's government. But this government will have more than just the ancient worthies here doing it. Here is where our role comes in verse 21. And saviors, the church, shall come up on a Mount Zion, and they shall be the judges over this Mount of Esau. And then the kingdom shall be the Lord's. What a glorious opportunity and privilege. What a Christmas present from our Heavenly Father. Let's skip down to forgiveness. There is a precious gift from the Lord. Who has Micah? Anybody get Micah? Ah, Brother Art Cook. Brother Art Cook, what did you get for Christmas?
I got a stamper.
What does a stamper say on it?
Paper stapler.
No, not a paper stamper. It's a stamper. You're right. It says something on the stamper.
Where? In here?
Right on the top.
Oh, it says paid.
Paid. Okay, what is your scripture? A paid stamp.
What is the scripture? Oh, I find it. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy.
Isn't that a tremendous gift? How many times do we come short in our walk? How many times do we offend one another or offend the Lord? How many times do we become indebted to him? And each time he says, paid. I'm not going to hold this debt against you. You come to me for forgiveness, and the forgiveness is there. It is a beautiful gift from the Lord of forgiveness. You know, John said, my little children, see that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. A beautiful gift that we can celebrate every day of the year. In fact, just about every hour of the day. Because I think there's hardly an hour goes by we don't need forgiveness for something that we have done wrong. A beautiful gift from our Heavenly Father. So many beautiful gifts. I hate to pass them over like this, but we just can touch a few. Let's take rain from Zechariah. Who got Zechariah? Anastasia. What did you get for Christmas? A rain bonnet, okay.
Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field.
You know, there are various thoughts in the early and latter rains mentioned in the scriptures, and we think there's a beauty to each of the thoughts as a picture. But the one we'd like to especially appreciate at this time is at the beginning of the church's experience, he gave a rain of truth, a shower, an outpouring of truth to the apostles. And then in the harvest, there was a second outpouring. A latter rain, a rain of truth to a wise and faithful servant. Truths that have refreshed us at this end of the age. Truths that have brought with it tremendous responsibilities. Responsibilities to study, to make them our own, to make them very clear in our mind. But truths that are a tremendous gift from the Lord. He has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has given us the latter rain of harvest truths. And to appreciate that is to appreciate one of the gifts of the Heavenly Father's Christmas for us. Well, we're going to go down quite a ways now. Let's go down and let's look at the book of John. Who got the book of John? Sonship. Sister Noddy. Sister Noddy Morehouse, what did you get for Christmas? By the way, you notice Mark's out of order. That's my fault. My daughter did the printing for me, and I forgot to put them in order.
Jordan water from the baptism place. And the scripture is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Have you considered what a privilege it is to be baptized with Christ? A privilege to be invited to share with him in his baptism and his experiences, not just the literal baptism that he had at the River Jordan, where the water came from that Sister Noddy has, but the privilege of being immersed into the experiences, into the body of Christ, and sharing with him in that. If we share with him in that, we give the power to become the sons of God. Greatest and highest office in the universe, next to that of his son and of God himself. As Daniel was the third ruler in the kingdom. So he's offered and invited you to share with him in that third spot. What a beautiful gift from our Heavenly Father. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians. Who has 2 Corinthians? Russ. Russ Martin, what did you get for Christmas?
A Bible.
A Bible, that's nice. What's your scripture?
2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
He's not only given us the privilege of sonship, he's given us a future job prospect. He's given us a prospect of, in the kingdom, sharing with him in the work of reconciliation. The reconciliation of mankind back to himself. That was the role of the goat in Leviticus 16, you recall. This is the role that we will have in sharing with him the office of the mediator. Being between God and man. Being able to understand through our experiences, if we are faithful, the needs of humanity on the one side and the demands of the Heavenly Father on the other. It's only those who can understand these two extremes that are able to efficiently function as a mediator. It gives us a purpose for each experience in life to determine from that experience what have I gained out of this experience that will help me in that kingdom to assist someone else up the highway of holiness. A beautiful ministry, an opportunity of reconciliation. To understand that, we need that Bible, because that is where the ministry, the word of reconciliation, really comes from. It comes from the essence, the teachings, the heart of the Scriptures. And as we can make those teachings part of ourselves, as we can learn to ourselves be reconciled to God, we can then in that kingdom assist others to that reconciliation. A gift of a ministry, a gift to be appreciated with thanks. One of the beautiful gifts in the Bible is in the book of Philippians. Who has the book of Philippians? Oh, Mom, Sister Parkinson, what did you get for Christmas? This was a hard gift to wrap a brother up.
I think it's a class directory.
Okay, the addresses, the telephone addresses of all the brethren in Chicago. Okay. And what is your scripture?
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and I certainly do.
Does the scripture stop there? Does the scripture stop there? Oh, I thought it was 1:3-5. It should have been 1:3-5. It's
always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
Now, if you ever want to look physically at a gift from God, go to a Sunday meeting and turn your head. Because sitting next to you is one of the gifts of the Heavenly Father, your brother or your sister in Christ. It's one you didn't choose. It wasn't your choice of a friend. Wasn't your choice the one to share life's experiences with? It was the Father's choice for you. One that he knew would be just right for you. Sometimes one he knew would be like iron sharpening iron, chipping off a part of the old block. But other times one who would be there to put the oil of kindness, the sympathy and helpful thought and deed just where they're needed. A beautiful, beautiful gift from the Heavenly Father. Let's go down to 1 Timothy 4:14. The gift that is in you. And this time we got a little exception. We've got three hands we should raise this time. Because this time we've particularly chosen three gifts for three different people. Sister Joy Canada, what did you get for Christmas?
Oh, thank you very much. It's a writing pad.
A writing pad. What is your scripture?
It's
should be on there someplace. It might be in the bag yet.
Oh, yeah. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Teaching.
Okay, teaching. I'm glad you said that, but I'm going to not comment yet. I'm going to get the other two gifts we got in the same one. Sister Joy Sarasi is around here someplace. Joy, what did you get?
Three guitar picks.
Three guitar picks with the same thing. Shirley Bakel, what else did you get?
I received a lovely artist brush.
You know, with Timothy, Joy is right. The gift was teaching. But there's a gift that's in each one of you. It may be, as in Shirley's case, a gift of artistic talent. In Joy Candle's case, a gift of writing to the brethren, corresponding with them so faithfully and regularly. A gift of music, as in Joy's case. A gift of speaking, as in some of the brethren's case. A gift of so many things. Each one of you has a gift within you. And now, with the Spirit upon you, that is a gift that you can utilize. That's a gift that becomes doubly meaningful. Because as you find that gift within you, that is a gift that is given to you through prophecy. Because the Lord had foreordained, predestinated his church to the extent that there would be those with certain qualifications, with certain gifts, if those gifts would be faithfully used. This is where to use our talents as we go along the road. The washing of regeneration. Titus 3:5. Who got Titus? Sister Elsie Peters, what did you get for Christmas?
It's some refreshing soap.
Bar soap.
Yes, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
We need soap to get the physical dirt off. We need something else to get the moral blots and blemishes off. Soap won't do it. You know, was it Macbeth? He said, out damn spot, and it wouldn't come out. Well, those spots don't come out with soap and water. But those spots do come out with another gift the Heavenly Father has given us. A washing of regeneration. A regeneration that is through the renewing of your minds. As Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Not only, my brethren, give yourselves your bodies a living sacrifice, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. By the taking of those words of Scripture. You know, this word washing is literally the labor of regeneration. It brings our mind back to that gift of the mirrors. Going back to the Word of God. There we find the thoughts, the concepts, the water of truth that will regenerate us and will put on, not just cleanse the old skin, but puts on new layers of skin, of spiritual skin, spiritual coverings for the blemishes that we have as we learn to think differently. Because only as we think differently, as we think from God's standpoint, do we really begin correcting these problems that are within us and have this real regeneration that is there from the Heavenly Father. Trying to keep an eye on my clock now and time myself correctly. Let's look at wisdom, the gift of wisdom. Who has the book of James? Sister Marilyn Binda. What did you get for Christmas, Marilyn?
I received the index to the reprints.
Okay.
And the text says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
So many places where we feel that need for knowing something, isn't it? Something, a desire from the Lord. The greatest source of that wisdom is prayer, going to the Heavenly Father. And the direct answer to that prayer is the Scriptures. The Bible is the true source of all the wisdom. Frequently, though, we have problems in its interpretation. And here again, we can be thankful that we do have aids, such as the reprints, such as the volumes, such as other things the Lord gives us to sort out how these truths can be personally applied to our life. And it's only as we look at them that way, to see how we can apply these things, how we can make these things useful, that we have wisdom. Otherwise, we may have knowledge. But knowledge is only knowing the what of a thing. Wisdom is the looking into those things and the finding out how to apply it. For ourselves, we might just mention a little bit of the thought behind this gift. We've always appreciated particularly the reprints from this aspect because there is so much devotion, so much thought given to the devotional life in the articles, so much thought given to the application of the principles of the Scriptures within our lives. And what a beautiful opportunity to study those applications and see how the lives, especially the Old Testament characters, the New Testament, have such a direct application to the experiences that we shape in ours, and as we can find those and locate them and pinpoint them in our hearts, there will be the source of wisdom for us. Let's go down to the gift of promises. 2 Peter 1:4. Who got 2 Peter? Sister Tilly Jesuit.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I have the book of precious promises.
Okay, the book of exceeding great and precious promises, a collection of some of these promises. You know, there's a beautiful word in this scripture. It's three words. That by these. Well, three words, what that scripture really is all about. He's given us precious promises, not so that we can look at them and say, boy, these apply to me and no one else. But he's given us precious promises so that by these we might become partakers of divine nature. Promises, and you'll notice how many promises are conditional. If ye do this, I will do this. We looked at one earlier, didn't we? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. It's just an example of so many of his precious promises. He will do something, but he asks us to do our part. That by these, by grasping hold of the conditions, we may develop the qualifications to earn the rewards that those promises hold forth. Let's go on to 3 John, the gift of spiritual children. Who has 3 John? Brother Art Jesuit, what did you get for Christmas?
A children's book called The Jesus Story. Scripture is 3 John, 4th verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
You know, there's a responsibility that is given to all who are parents to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But it's a responsibility that brings with it a gift. Because as they begin taking to the admonition of the Lord, as they begin applying these principles, I think every parent who has seen it in their child can say it is one of the most precious gifts the Heavenly Father has given. The gift of children who can appreciate the principles of righteousness. Because in that gift, there is a method of appreciating something that God Himself has. God has seen you as His children, beginning to appreciate the principles of righteousness. He has given you certain lessons, certain directions in your life. He's letting you take certain wrong paths. He's given you a large measure of freedom, even as a parent will often give their child. But over through it and over it all, He's given a direction that eventually produces hearts that are praising to God. And if we can see that in our children, what a glorious gift from the Heavenly Father. The gift of faith. Who has the book of Jude? Mark Tabak, what did you get for Christmas?
It's a poster. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay, what does your scripture in Jude say?
Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
You know, faith is a two-sided coin in its gift. On the one side, we have the privilege of just believing. Believing into the Lord, believing into the great things that He has done for us, and believing likewise that with His strength we can do things for Him. That with His strength we can do all things through Christ. That is the one side of the coin of faith. And the other side are the beautiful doctrines of the Scriptures, the faith. The faith once delivered to the saints. The beautiful plan of God, its outline. And this is something that we have to contend for, not be contentious over, but to contend for, to secure within ourselves. To contend for, to be as clear and as certain as we can be as to what the Scriptures teach to each one of us. As we do, it is a beautiful gift from the Lord, both the faith of belief and the faith of that in which to place our belief. Revelation has a gift too, a gift we see before us almost every Sunday. Sister Stella Hack, what did you get for Christmas?
got a little pocketbook.
And what does it say on it?
Revelation 2:10, or on the pocketbook?
Yeah.
I will give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2:10.
Okay, and what does your scripture say?
Revelation 2:10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
There is one of the great gifts. The final gift that we get on this side, not on this side of the veil, we don't get it on this side, really. The final gift we get as we go under the veil, into the crowning life, the life of immortality, the life of the blessings of a spiritual existence with our Heavenly Father, the life of being associated with the giver of every good and perfect gift, the life of being privileged to throughout eternity be ourselves the givers of good and perfect gifts, the privilege of having life within yourself, bellies that flow with rivers of living water, pouring out life to others. This, in many ways, is one of the ultimate, one of the high gifts from our Heavenly Father. We've touched just a few. We've touched just a few of the 66. Many others of you have received gifts today, and as you open these, we hope that as you look at the Scripture, maybe the tie-ins are remote to the item, but that regardless, the Scripture will show to you a gift from the Heavenly Father. When you see your Scripture, when you see your gift, share your gift. Share your gift with another, so that they too can rejoice with you and share your joy, that they too have that same gift in their lives. And as we sing in the Psalm 22, you know, the Bible is a mine I deeper to than can mortal ever go. Search we may for many a years, still some new rich gem appears. Let's keep looking for those gifts of the Heavenly Father. They're sprinkled throughout. They're there from cover to cover. And as we get them, let's say those words that we heard so often last night. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Carl, not only for your thoughts, but for the individual gifts that each of us received. I'm sure it'll make each one of us realize that in this spirit of gift-giving, that the most important gifts are those given from God.